Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence among us today, for those of you who are gathered here in the sanctuary, and for those of you who are worshiping with us online. Welcome. We've got quite a few things going on today and several announcements. The first is that tomorrow evening at 6:30, the Agape group will be meeting in the fellowship hall. We're going to be getting ready for the baby shower and just celebrating the fact that this is the first time Agape has gathered together in person since the pandemic began. So come and just enjoy being together. The teen parent shower is this Tuesday morning at 8:30. And so I know quite a few folks from Agape will be there, but if you will hold in prayer these teen moms who are really doing the best that they can, and pray that our program continues to bless them and care for them as they are navigating really tough waters. Next Sunday is our semi-annual congregational meeting. Immediately after worship, we'll be now electing the next four upcoming council members, and we will be looking at the budget for the 2022 fiscal year. Immediately following that, we are hosting a treasurer's meeting for all the treasurers of the church. We're hoping to bring some uniformity to the way that all of the treasurers submit things and do things, and so please come to that meeting for some instruction and some education. I will be on vacation starting this Thursday through the Saturday the 27th, which is the Saturday right before the first Sunday of Advent. If you need anything during that time, or if there is an emergency, please reach out to our council president, Lynn Dennis, and if need be, he will reach out to me. So that's this Thursday through the following Saturday. November 28th, which is the first Sunday of Advent, it's the Sunday after Thanksgiving, we are going to be having an Advent festival. We are going to gather at the picnic shelter for a pizza supper. We're going to make Advent wreaths, and I'm going to offer a little devotion on what Advent is and why we celebrate Advent and why we have Advent wreaths and why we do some of the things that we do during Advent. It can become very easy to get just accustomed to doing things because we've done them for a while without really knowing why we do them and why they are significant for us. But Advent is a really meaningful season in our church year, so please plan on coming to that festival. We're going to be making Advent wreaths. We're going to be handing out devotions. It's going to be a really neat time to be together. Let's see. We've got our time and talent sheets for 2022 out in the narthex. If you haven't filled one out or submitted it yet, please grab one before you leave and make sure that you turn it in to us so that we can begin thinking about 2022 and our life together. So as I mentioned, the teen parent shower is this Tuesday morning, and we've got some prayer shawls for each of the babies, a little cocoon, a bigger cap, and a tiny newborn cap to give them. And so we've got four little ones who are about to be born to these mothers. And so we'd like to pray over these prayer shawls and cocoons and caps. Y'all want to put your hand on a couple? Here we go. Let us pray. God, we give you thanks for establishing us and rooting us here in the Holly Grove community. We thank you for making needs known to us so that we, as your body, can do what we are able to help meet those needs and to love and care for others with your love and your grace and your compassion. We give you thanks for this teen mom program that we help participate in here at Holly Grove, and ask that you would help us to bless these moms on Tuesday morning at their shower. For many of them, they don't get to have another baby shower. And so please help us to love on them and care for them, to make them feel special. We pray that as you continue to knit together these little ones in their wombs, that you would help the mothers have safe and healthy pregnancies and safe and healthy deliveries. We pray that as these young ones are wrapped in these shawls and cocoons and hats, that they would also be surrounded by the love and prayers of all of us here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. In Jesus' name, amen. And you have probably noticed that there are some prayer shawls here on the handbill areas, and they're, I think, lap robes. They look like prayer shawls, and they essentially are prayer shawls. But your fellowship committee has been hard at work for the last few weeks knitting and crocheting all of these lap blankets, and I will invite Karen, who is recovering so well from her knee replacement. We're so grateful to have her back with us this morning.
All right. And I would like to invite the fellowship committee up. And Jane.
Let's do it just a little bit louder.
We have these beautiful lap robes to present to them.
Let's try that.
Okay. So if you didn't hear me, we are presenting lap robes to our Holly Grove veterans, which I will say is a great number for the small congregation that we have. So we do have a number of Holly Grove congregation people, and we have a lot of friends and family that we want to recognize as well. Do you want to do the blessing first?
Sure.
Okay.
So if y'all want to gather around and lay some hands on these lap blankets. Judy, if you might pitch in and lay hands on a couple.
Carol.
Prince of Peace, even as we pray for an end to war, we give thanks for our soldiers' courage, for their love of country, and for their work to bring peace to our world. Almighty God, we commend to your gracious care and keeping all the men and women of our armed forces at home and abroad. Give them strength and courage to face the perils that surround them. Sustain and comfort active service members and veterans in hours of anxiety and loneliness and sorrow. And grant them and their families a sense of your abiding presence wherever they may be. Merciful God, all suffer the cost of war. We remember widows and widowers, orphans, and all those who are separated from those they love. We pray, gracious God, that swords will be turned into plowshares and that peace will reign. We give thanks for all who have served. Shield from danger those who bravely protect us. With them may we glory not in war, but in your love and righteousness. Strengthen us to be your peacemakers in the world. As our veterans and active service members are surrounded with these lap robes, may they also feel surrounded with our love and prayers and gratitude. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
At this time, I would like to invite our veterans to come forward in front of the church, please. Don't be shy. I'm going to read some names, and if I've forgotten anybody, please come forward. Robin Beck, Chip Blower, Walter Blower, Max Carrick, Paul Conrad, Wayne Conrad, Bill Curry, Frank Hamilton, Gene Kepley, Gary McLean, Lisa McLean Smith, Boyd Queen, Jean Queen, Bob Troutman, Bobby Waitman, Jim Watkins, and when we started this project, Harold Beck was on our list, so posthumously, we're going to present this to Myra, if you'll come forward, Myra. Others that we have, family and friends, Keegan Watkins, Adam Watts, Trent Lutz, Kevin Stewart, Pat Ayola.
Please join me in thanking our veterans as they choose which lap robe they would like to take home with them.
Thank you for all that you gave and continue to give. So just pick one out, help yourself, enjoy as you're sitting and reading or watching TV. Thank you. Thank you all.
And last but not least, we have a few birthdays this week. Boyd Queen, Jennifer Davis, and Robin Beck. And Ross and Elisa Summer have an anniversary this week. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Please stand. We gather together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, Come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sin, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth.
Let us pray. Almighty God, your sovereign purpose brings salvation to birth. Give us faith to be steadfast amid the tumults of this world, trusting that your kingdom comes and your will is done through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading is from Daniel. At that time, Michael, the great prince, the protector of your people, shall arise. There shall be a time of anguish such as has never occurred since nations first came into existence. But at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm is Psalm 16. Protect me, O God, that I take refuge in you. All my delight is in the godly that are in the land. But those who run after other gods, I will not pour out drink offerings to such gods. O Lord, you are my portion and my cup. My boundaries enclose a pleasant land.
Indeed, I have a rich inheritance.
I will bless the Lord who gives me counsel.
My heart teaches me night after night.
I have set the Lord always before me.
Because God is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken.
My heart therefore is glad, and my spirit rejoices.
My body also shall rest in hope.
for you shall not abandon me to the grave. You will show me the path of life.
In your presence there is fullness of joy, and in your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
The second reading is from Hebrews. And every priest stands day after day at his service, offering again and again the same sacrifices that can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since then has been waiting until his enemies would be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us, for after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days," said the Lord, "I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." He also adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin." Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provide one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more you see the day approaching. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be, and what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs. As for yourselves, beware, for they will hand you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings because of me as a testimony to them. And the good news must first be proclaimed to all nations. When they bring you to trial and hand you over, do not worry beforehand about what you are to say, but say what is ever given to you at that time. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise against parent and have them put to death. And you will be hated because of my name. But the one who endures to the end will be saved." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Hi, Isabel. Hi, Camden. Hi, Calvin. Well, those were some pretty hard things in Scripture to hear, weren't they? And you know what? They're even a little bit harder to understand. But today I wanted to talk a little bit about what Mr. Conrad, what Mickey read for us before the gospel lesson, the lesson in Hebrews, where the writer says this: "Do not neglect to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another." So as we're thinking about this, I wanted to ask you the difference between getting to do something and having to do something, right? Because the words we say matter, and they can mean different things. So what's the difference between having to do something and getting to do something? What do you think, Camden? If you have to put your clothes away, it sounds a lot different than I get to put my clothes away, right? It sounds more like a chore, more like something that you kind of dread or don't want to do. What do you think, Calvin? That's really good. So Calvin says that if you have to do something, it's a requirement. But if it's not a requirement, if it's not something you're required to do, then it's more optional. You get to do it. So let's think about this for a minute, maybe as it relates to homework. How different does it sound if you say, "I have to do my homework," or "I get to do my homework"? I have to help do my chores. I get to help do my chores. How different does that sound? It sounds kind of like a bad difference, like, oh, I have to do my homework. Have to do what my parents tell me to do. I get to do what my parents tell me to do. It sounds like it's a little bit more of a privilege, more maybe it's something a little bit more special. Well, there are a lot of people who think on Sunday mornings, or maybe even other times during the week, oh, I have to go to church. Ah, it sounds like a chore. Sounds like it's something hard, maybe something they don't necessarily want to do, but maybe something they feel obligated or required to do. But how different does it sound if we say, I get to go to church on Sunday morning? Calvin says it means this. That we get to go to church. Well, last week we had a baptism. Kate was baptized. And there are a lot of things that happen in baptism, but one of them is that God adopts us into God's family. And one of the things that we get to do as members of God's family is we get to gather together every Sunday to praise and worship God, to eat a special meal that God provides for us, and to enjoy being together. And so often when we're together, we can encourage one another and support one another, which is actually one of the promises that we make when other people are baptized, right? Last week when Kate was baptized, we promised her that we would support her and care for her and pray for her. And when we were baptized, other people promised that to us. And then when everybody else is baptized, we promise that. So being a part of God's family means we get to do a lot of things. We get to pray for people, we get to encourage them, we get to support them. We get to come to church on Sundays and be together with our family and have a special meal together. So maybe can we say all together, I get to come to church on Sundays. I get to come to church on Sundays. So see, next Sunday, see if you can remember that when your mom or dad wakes you up early and says, okay, let's get ready for church. Instead of saying, oh, do I have to? You say, okay, I get to go to church. Woohoo! Let's pray. Good morning, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for your church. And thank you that we get to come to church. Help us to love one another and to encourage each other and to support one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming up. You can go back to your seats. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As you probably know about me, I'm all the time thinking about all the things. They're always swimming and spinning around in my mind. And one of the things I've been especially thinking about the last couple weeks is where I was a year ago in November. So at this time last November, I had officially been made primary candidate of your call committee. I'd had a couple of interviews with the call committee. I'd come to Holly Grove. I'd gotten to see the church and meet them in person. And I was getting ready to meet with your church council at the end of the month. And then in December is when I would get to meet many of you at the meet and greet. And it's hard for me to comprehend time at any given time, but in thinking about all of the life that we have shared together in this past year, I give God thanks that God was joining our lives together a year ago at this time. One of the things that I kept hearing over and over as I was interviewing for Holly Grove is why people loved Holly Grove so much. And I bet if we were to go around the sanctuary and each individual person here was to say what they love about Holly Grove and why you stay here and why you continue to come Sunday after Sunday and why you continue to stay engaged in the ministry here is because of the relationships that we have with one another. Holly Grove is like a family, which is what the church should be. When we are baptized, we become a part of the family of God, and that's not just some nice thing to say and it sounds good. That's what God intends for the body of Christ to be. And here at Holly Grove, more than many churches, that is realized. We are like a family here. And hearing about these tight-knit relationships and how you love and care and support one another, that's a big part of what drew me to Holly Grove. Because a significant part of our life together is our relationship with one another. In our faith, in the life of the church, things are no longer about I or me, but are instead about us and we. I know this shift from individual thinking to communal thinking can be really hard in modern times, but this is what it has always meant to be a person of faith, to be a believer, to be the church. We are the body of Christ, and we live the life of faith not on our own, but together. Together. Now, I don't know if you picked up on this or not, but when Mickey was reading the lesson from Hebrews today, the author of that book is addressing the whole community, not just an individual or a person. Listen to these words again. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us, the curtain that is his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, Let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. All of these words are plural. There are no singular words being addressed to the one who will receive these words in Hebrews. And see if this sounds familiar. The author was offering these words to a church that was struggling in a lot of ways, including being tired and being discouraged because some of the members of the community were neglecting and even abandoning the church. So there was a waning zeal among the believers and a decline in attendance, something that the church is crying out about all over the world. But the charge and call of this author for this struggling church community was to more firmly root itself in God's gracious acts toward us in Jesus. To not be thinking about all of the troubles and challenges in the world around us, to not be thinking about who we are needing to be in the world, but to more firmly root itself in God's gracious acts toward us in Jesus. In our baptism, when we are baptized into Christ's death and then resurrection, God forgives us our sin, God gives us new life, and God gives us life eternal. We receive these gifts of God's salvation in and through Jesus, and they are gifts, because there is nothing we have done or can do to earn them. In his life, death, and resurrection, Jesus has offered for all people the gifts of salvation. And when we are firmly rooted in what God has done in Jesus, giving us and the whole world salvation, that changes the way we think about who we are and how we are to live in the world. Also in our baptism, we are adopted into God's family as God's own children. And being a part of a family means that there are certain things that we need to do to be a part of that family. And the first is, I think, laid out for us here in this Hebrews passage. Part of what it means to be a member of the family of God is that we approach with confidence God's presence, that we are able to come into God's presence not with guilt or shame or fear. The word confidence, as it is used here, means courage and boldness, fearlessness, and joy. Brothers and sisters, as baptized and forgiven people of God, we do not need to be crippled with guilt or shame or fear before God. Because of what Jesus has done for us, we can enter God's presence boldly, with courage, with fearlessness, and with joy, fully knowing that we are forgiven and that we are desired by God. And as we enter into God's presence, we are called to approach with a true heart in full assurance of the faith that God gives. We are also, in this family of God, called to hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, because God, who has promised, is faithful. The author isn't talking about some kind of pie in the sky optimism. Because let's face it, there will always be circumstances that knock us off kilter and possibly even question God and where God is in the midst of what we are going through. When those time comes, not if, when, because we know they will, when those times come, let us hold fast, knowing that our hope is not rooted in human effort, but entirely in who God is. And God is faithful. We can be confident that God is faithful in all of God's ways, and confident that God always keeps God's promises, particularly that God in Jesus is always with us, and that nothing, no thing, can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Jesus emptied himself completely and fully to come and be with us as one of us. Jesus knows what it is to be human, to know pain and heartbreak and indescribable suffering. And because of this, he is present with us in our pain and our heartbreak and our suffering. Finally, we are called as baptized and forgiven people of God to persevere in community with one another. The author writes this: "Let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another." This one's kind of fun. First of all, the word provoke. Was anyone else surprised that the word provoke was used here? Let us provoke one another to love and good deeds. Well, this word means to agitate, to irritate, to pester. To irritate and to agitate and to pester one another to love and to good deeds. We love and pester and agitate one another to fulfill the promises that we have made in our baptism and in the baptism of others. We are called to be active participants in the work that God is doing in the world. And we are called to follow Jesus' example of sacrificial living and giving, loving, and serving. But this kind of way of living is not easy. And so it's easy just to maybe sit on the sideline or watch others do it. But the kind of accountability that we are called to in this family of God is that we pester and provoke, maybe even irritate one another to love and to good deeds. Think about the words in our affirmation of baptism. So when somebody is confirmed, they are then to take on the promises that their parents made to them in their baptism as their own. They make these promises, all of us do, as we live out our life of faith. So the pastor asks, "Do you intend to continue in the covenant God made with you in holy baptism? To live among God's faithful people? To hear the word of God and share in the Lord's Supper? To proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed? To serve all people following the example of Jesus? And to strive for justice and peace in all the earth?" Hopefully the person will say, "I do," but not lightly, because these are really big things that we promise to do when we affirm our baptism. They're really big and hard things. But none of them can be lived out in the life of faith on our own. They all are requiring us to be a part of the body of Christ. And then after they say, yes, I do, the pastor asks the people, do you promise to support and pray for one another in your life in Christ? This is also a beautiful promise, but not one to be taken lightly. We can't just say yes without really meaning it. When we say that we're going to love and pray and support and care for people, we need to mean that. And that means that we cannot go this life of faith alone. We need one another, and we have promised to love and care and support one another. We need one another to live our life of faith, and God gives us the gift of this family to help us live out these promises that we have made to God and to one another. Let us pray. Eternal and life-giving God, we thank you that by your word in the waters of baptism, you wash away our sins, you give us the gift of eternal life, and you adopt us into your family as your own children. Empower us by your Holy Spirit that we might live as your forgiven and baptized people, who are deeply rooted in your love for us and for the whole creation. Help us to live as forgiven people, confidently coming into your presence with genuine hearts, full of the assurance of faith. Strengthen us to hold fast to the confession of our hope, because you and you alone are faithful. And help us to provoke one another to love and good deeds, to gather together for worship and fellowship, to encourage and love and support one another. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
living together in hope and trust, let us confess our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe
in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate,
was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body,
Eternal God, you hold firm amid the changes of this world. Hear us now as we pray for the church, the world, and everyone in need. God, our Creator, you show us the path of life. Bless faithful people everywhere with humility as they extend compassion to those who have experienced harm in religious spaces. Cultivate healthy congregations that tell of and enact your reconciling love. God, in your mercy. God, our constant, you love our universe from beginning to end. As the seasons change, protect animals that migrate and hibernate. Bring them safely to a sheltered place and a more abundant season. God, in your mercy. God, our ruler, you write your law on human minds and hearts. Give wisdom to all elected leaders and officials to govern with insight and compassion. Make them mindful of the well-being of all people so that your world will flourish. God, in your mercy. God, our stronghold, you are present amid the challenges of life. Surround and comfort all who struggle with depression, anxiety, cancer, diabetes, dementia, or any illness. We pray for all in need, especially Gary, Dean, Teresa, Jean, the family of Harold and Jimmy Beck, Gary and Judy, Bill, Raven and Tim, Crystal, the family of Eddie Lee Conrad, Duty, John, James, Wilson, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those that we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. God, in your mercy. God, our God, you are greater than we can imagine. Surround congregations with your expansive inclusion. Be present in the midst of disagreements, differences, and questions. Unite people of diverse viewpoints in the love of Christ. God, in your mercy. God, our beginning and our end, your beloved people shine like the brightness of the sky. We thank you for the lives of all who rest in your eternal mercy. Assure us of your resurrection promise. God, in your mercy.
God, our hope and strength, we entrust to you all for whom we pray. Remain with us always. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share a sign of God's peace with those around you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you.
Let us pray. Holy God, the earth is yours and everything in it, yet you have chosen to dwell among your creatures. Come among us now in these gifts of bread and wine, and strengthen us to be your body for the world through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. And merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. A feast of love is offered here for you and for all the saints. and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Blessed Jesus, at this table you have been for us both host and meal. Now send us forth to extend our tables and to share your gifts until that day when all feast together at your heavenly banquet. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Let us say our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Go in peace, serve the Lord.